This is Critical Nonsense, our high lowbrow show about culture, science, and tech. This week, I asked Joey about finding the right answer.
Woo! Calm down. Calm down. This is what a Joey sounds like. Sometimes I'm like, just as about I'm about to say it, I'm like, no, can't say it. Don't got the rhythm. And this is what an executive producer and World Beats listener, Jess Vander, sounds like.
Hi, this is Jess.
What are World Beats? I'm sure it has like a definition.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I feel like it's like, is it literally just like any music from outside the U.S.? I don't think that is actually like what it is, but, you know, whatever. Anyways, Jessica, housekeeping. We did an episode. I'm not sure when. I think it would have just launched recently about where I was talking to you about like nerd ideas and things of that nature. The piece I was referring to launched on March 14th, is available. We can put it in the show notes. You can determine whether I accomplished nerd and fun and interesting or just nerd. But that's out there now.
I have enjoyed it so far. I haven't finished it because it is a long read. One of those great read, long read type concepts. But it's cool. And it's always fun to see into your brain. It's one of those, so I've been thinking, and I read an article and also another article, and I've been cogitating about this for a year. Actually, yes, many years.
One of those old things. It is funny also what constitutes a long read now compared to in the past, you know, like a New Yorker, like, main article, maybe 6,000 words, and like articles that you would, you know, like publications used to ask people in companies like ours to write would be like 1,000 to 1,200 words. This piece is in the ballpark of 2,000 words and is like definitively long now. Is like a universal response, but I think in the past would not have necessarily been viewed in that way. Shrinking attention spans. That's where we are. Jessica, you want to talk to us about something?
I would like to do that. Indeed. I think that there are a bunch of reasons we should talk about the challenge with right answers. Beyond my own idea of perfectionism and all the topics we had recently about like correcting people and trying to, you know, be right. I think there's an extension to that conversation about why it is that we care so much about that. I've been thinking about it because of, you know, a bunch of things at work with trying to triangulate on our intern cohort for the summer. Thinking about what motivates people and or demotivates people in the dating industry for work there. I think there's just so many things, and also, again, for personal reasons, that are interesting about chasing right answers. And I just feel like there's a lot to unpack. And so I guess my question is, Joey, why are we always searching for the right answer?
It's interesting because I think both on the show and in our own personal conversations in the past, we've spoken a lot about rightness because I think, as you said, you have like a stronger desire to sort of be like, there's a right way and a wrong way. Where I tend to be a little bit more oriented in the gray, not in all situations and all circumstances, and we all sort of flex between those two things. But Yeah, and I'm like reflecting on my own personal relationship with it too, because I think you mentioned the intern program, you know, great news. We have lots of interest in, you know, hundreds of people applying for internships, but three positions, which all of a sudden puts you in this situation where you're like, you know, we've trained ourselves to be much better as a society and culture, and certainly not all the way there, but at not sort of reducing people to like flat versions of themselves that can be fully understood through something like a resume or experience or whatever. And so that, you know, that is like a demonstration of openness and of looking and eagerness to learn about a person. But the reality is, like, how someone would come into our company and play within a complex system, like, there's not a right answer. There is just maybe like probability fields of like maybe they would be more likely to have success, but if they were on the wrong team or on a thing that they weren't interested in, actually they wouldn't work. You know, like it's too complex to have rightness.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny that you bring that up, because I feel like there are, if not exact idioms, like there is no right answer. That's like a thing that people know and say. But I think there are other, the way I'm trying to think about this is also in idiom format of like, like several things that are several things that are true. No, but that also seem potentially paradoxical. So let's take there is no right answer as a given in this mathematical prompt or what's it called?
Equation.
Yes. But what am I thinking of in
proof?
Proof. Thank you. So let's take there is no right answer as a given. But then there's also the other one, which is maybe not established the same way, but the idea that there are some answers that are more right than others. Like the idea that it's like there's no right answer, but that doesn't mean that that
you're not wrong.
Right. And also and I think that's potentially similar to, but there are more, like there are multiple right answers can also mm-hmm. like, it's not just there is no right answer, but there can also be multiple right answers. And then this last one that I'm really like trying to grasp with, I'm definitely making up and is not a thing, but it's like what feels right may not be the same as what can be right. And there's mm-hmm. like a little bit of a temporal thing going on in there of like, well, maybe it's mixed up with what you expect versus in reality what things can turn out, and you know what your idea of success might look like might turn out differently in practice, or things you couldn't have possibly predicted because life, right? And that's what's like, it's like, okay, so got it, no right answers, but there are multiple, and some are more better, but also some might be wrong. And actually a different one might be right, which I think is all part of that complexity, the system of complexity you're talking about. I don't know if any of those, did I miss any?
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, in the idiom realm, it's like more than one way to skin a cat, 6 to 1, half dozen the other, right? Like we have lots of phrases that sort of communicate like either way is fine or something like that. Like there's not, it'll get you to the same place, right? But the temporal bit is sort of interesting, because you have, you know, we've spoken about before, like the concept of equifinality, right? Like in a complex system, there's always more than one way to arrive at the same destination. But the question then becomes, what are you evaluating on, like you suggested, right? Like in the case of, you know, hiring practices within a company, there are multiple evaluative factors to where even just the evaluation becomes more complex. Is like, is someone capable of performing the duties of the job and role that you're bringing them in at? One, do they seem like a nice person that you would enjoy working with? Are they like willing to participate? Are they willing to learn? Like, how do they interact with other people? Like, all of those additional factors come in. So that makes it, that you're not just evaluating them based on their sort of work experience or capability set. You're also evaluating whether or not they could be like the best, most qualified candidate, but there's also like the potential for them not to gel with the way of working within the system that you're bringing them into, right? And so then that question of like, okay, you're forced to make potential value judgments as a result, because at the end of this process, someone is either like being hired or not hired, or brought into an intern program or not brought into an intern program. There's like, you can't exist in the gray space in perpetuity. You have to sort of stew in the gray space to try and evaluate and feel your way around potential outcomes. But at some point you have to decide, you have to make a definitive response in that like black and white zone. They are either hired or not hired. And then understand that like, you like, there are degrees of rightness on the back side of that. So it is this like gray, black and white, back into gray, and at some point may go back into black and white. It is this like wave and particle sort of dynamic that happens.
Yeah, that's interesting. Right. I think, and that's what's so interesting about even some of those idioms, the way they're phrased too. Like some are like definitely this, but also could be, and it's a perfect reflection of those analogies. That's really cool. Yeah, I was also, I think now we're just figuring out different, almost like, what is it, like schemas or like different frameworks or like ways to envision this, which is kind of interesting. Another one I was thinking of is just like, like alternate definitions, you know, in the dictionary where it'll be like, it could mean this, or in noun form, totally different. Like, you could mean right in specific context. You could mean right in a macro, like global context. You could be right for right now, or you could be like right thinking ahead. You could be right in fairness and morality. It could be right given what you know now versus right in hindsight. Like now that you do know, like that was the right call, even though I didn't know that it was the right call at the time. Like all of those different vectors of this are so interesting. Not only in how they are definitive or not, but also in that they are like, it also just like spans categories, types, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, that you need to be switching between those schemas and where some are soft and some are hard, right? Like, you know, I mean, even in the way that we, you know, hear perform like personal review, like team reviews every year, it's like, these are hard skills that you need to perform this job, and here are soft skills that you need to be able to like peacefully and effectively like interact with other nodes in that like network. And like sometimes people are really good at one and not as strong in the other, and they need to like work on one side or the other side. And like two people can be equally effective with skills that are like radically different is in and of itself a demonstration of the, of like what we're talking about, right? Like that sometimes the equifinality example exists of like, could two people run a project with radically different skills and get to an equal level of success at the end, where, you know, for us, like as strategists, like one person maybe is like much more effective as a like strategic thinker, whereas the other person is more effective as like a leader of people and social skills and like better understanding the client or the team and drawing more out of them. But like at the end of the process, like the you know, in this counterfactual, that both people are like graded equally on the outcomes is in and of itself like a demonstration of this, right? Like, you know, there are, like the whole thing about complex systems is there are too many data points to measure, and so predicting what will happen in a complex system is impossible. And I think that's why like hiring is hard, is because you can have an intuition based on your past experience how a particular person will fare, but as someone who is like managed hiring for a long time, like I've had my predictions like come true and be wrong, both in positive and negative ways, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because I think that's, I also was double checking to make sure I knew what equifinality was, which is how different experiences, paths, or inputs can lead to similar outcomes, like land in the same place. But in looking at that, there's also the other concept of multifinality, which is that even if you have similar inputs, experiences, you can end up with different, potentially even inconsistent results. And that's what's cool about this too, is like, and even what's more confusing about rightness is like, being right one time does not mean that you are always going to be right that way, because of how complex the system is. It's a perfect example in, again, like in the hiring process of like, mm-hmm. You might think, oh, many signals, this person reminds me so much of somebody who already works here, like it's a shoo-in, like it's gonna work so great, and nope, that is not how that works.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, from the position that we've been in recently with the internship program, right? Like that's one example, but it, like, sometimes it works in think serious there, or this ways? Hold it, well, this holds in like different spaces, right? Like I know people, like personal relationships with people who I know were like strong performers at their job, like having got to work with them, if they were a client of ours or something, but a company does like a layoff, and they wind up being pulled into it. And like, I know that they were good. And in fact, maybe the instigating factor for the layoff had nothing to do with that person, right? But they still, you know, at the end of it were there. And so then like, you're forced to contend with that complexity in other ways. You're like, I was doing what I was supposed to do, right? And performing and based on like how we establish things, but we're still here.
Well, and I think that's something that can be freeing in a way. Like there's the feeling of like, and like, it just cannot possibly all be in your control, even as right as you are striving to be. It, like, there's just a point that cannot, like, you cannot possibly control for all variables of rightness. I mean, I think that that's even why it was relevant to the concept, you know, in the world of dating and like reading about people with maximizer strategies who are like just waiting for the best one. And that brings up the whole like secretary problem, which maybe has a very outdated name, but the concept of like, at some point, you just have to hire the person and you can't keep interviewing for that long. And I think it's a similar freeing idea, hard for a person like me, but freeing to think that it's at least knowing the computing power of our human brains as we know them, and also just like too many unknowns to possibly juggle, that maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's not all up to us.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. If I think back of like the episodes and like topics we've had this year, and I don't have the list in front of me, but I feel like we're in this period, like a blue period, you know, like equivalent of like artistic, where we're like really kind of like heavy into these questions of ambiguity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because we went through a difficult experience last year, because like maybe those are the reasons why we're sort of tackling these questions. But it doesn't feel unique to us. I think I've been talking to a lot of leaders at like other similar companies recently, like CEOs or executives, and the way that they feel like they're sort of in similar spaces. And someone recently, just sort of like tying into this topic, was like, they had a client that was like, how do you always find the best people? And they were like, I don't know if we always find the best people. I think maybe we just like built a place where people can be the best versions of themselves. And one, I resonated with that. Like, you know, you can't like pursue perfection as like a losing battle. diminishing returns, all of that. But like the flip side of this is like hiring the perfect person doesn't exist. But if you're only focused on like what you're putting into the system instead of like fixing the system itself, right? Like, are you making a situation as like, you know, in this case, like company culture or things like that, where a person will be able to thrive? Yes. Because you have more control there versus like controlling exactly the right like calibrations of the person that you're hiring and that you find them and that they want to come here, you know, like all of those types of questions that you can't control.
Yes, yes, exactly. Like, I think maybe we're especially in this introspective moment as like, you know, going through the reviews period right now and things like that, where I absolutely agree. It's this idea of like finding and tinkering with the best conditions for people to succeed. It's like I was telling somebody, one of our colleagues, that it's kind of like the weather. It's like, you know, it's
complex,
it's
system.
It's like, it's the weather of like, you walk out and you're like, whoa, can't control the weather. But like, if you wear the right gear, like you can maybe have like, you know, being like, we can manage this. But if you have no gear and you're caught in that, it's like, well, this is going to be bad. Like, it's not, how can this possibly go well if you're caught in the rain and thunder and you have, and you're wearing, you know, suede, a head to toe suede outfit. Vegan suede, I mean, that, but still.
there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad gear, right? Like, and also the reason why we're so bad at predicting the weather is because it's too complex.
We just need quantum computing, and for that we need helium, which brings us back to a topic that began before the, before the podcast. It's too much. It's too complicated to get into at this present time. So,
which brings us to your wave and particle corner. what do you want to wrap this up?
Yes. Right and wrong and black and white and wave and particle and right. There are so many different ways.
1000001
to try to navigate when making decisions, and what hubris it is to believe that we can possibly hold all of those at once. We out here, as Joey would say.
We out here.
So
humble here, leaves blowing in the wind.
Here is permission to you, and honestly to myself, to just choose something.
Critical Nonsense is a Sylvain production.
Brought to you by... I can't decide!
As always, we'd like to thank our executive producer and Schrodinger's producer, Jess Vander.
You're welcome. We'd also like to thank sound engineer and always right, Alex Contal.
We'd like to thank our programming coordinator and both particle and wave, Les Jacobs.
And thanks to our production crew and So Wrong, It's So Right, Sarah Tober and Nora Mester.
And as always, thanks, Alen. Did you just, in our special thanks, are we saying thank you to the horseshoe theory? Where something gets so wrong, it becomes right again.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
It's like, and wait, but also. Yeah.
But did you, everything in my head, I'm just seeing like the kombucha girl meme in my head constantly. I don't know why. It's just
is that
like,
the one who's like processing the emotions in real time of like, oh, I don't know. And then it's like, well, actually.
Yeah, no, but yeah. Yeah, she like takes a sip of kombucha and then it's just a series of like, ooh, no, maybe, nope, definitely not, but yeah, like,
yeah.
Which is, she's struggling with the complexity of kombucha, I guess. The Complexity of Kombucha, title of your memoir.
It's also, I think the reason that people are so captivated by that is it is a refreshing expression of changing one's mind.
Yeah.
Like, we are so good at making quick decisions or gut choices now, and the beauty of being like, well, reverse, uno yeah. reverse, like, actually, yeah. I'm open that I was too quick here.
Oop, double reverse, yeah. special thanks to Sunshine. It's been nice. Get outside, get some sun on you. Put on your SPF if you're so inclined. I guess it's good for you.
You should be inclined. Just do it. Yeah. That's a great idea.
And yeah, I hope everyone gets outside. That's it. Love you. Mean it.
Okay, bye.